Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming to our meeting. Months of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being a free country, Lord. We thank you for these things. We thank you for all things. Thank you for the men and women around this country to keep us safe and free, Lord. Thank you for the men and women here locally to keep us safe and free, Lord. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Sheriff's office invoice for details for Hodges Park and the boat ramps. We'd like that bill to be added to the invoices so that it can be paid promptly.
Motion to approve the agenda with the addition of one invoice from the sheriff to the bill list.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. At this time, we have comments, concerns from the public. Anybody from non-agenda items, come to the podium and state your name for the record. You got 3 minutes.
I'm Martha Ann Lawless. I am not living in North 19 in Garrett Barth. I have to use the roll-off site at the Harrison Blue Road for my dump my garbage at, and it's in such desolate repair until I can't use it anymore. I have a bad shoulder, bad back, and I'm old, and I can't throw my garbage 5 feet up in the air to get it in a dumpster when it weighs 15, 20, 30 pounds. I can't get my yard debris 4 foot up in the air when it's pine limbs that's on the trailer. I'm impaired in being able to do that because I've lived long enough that I'm going downhill instead of uphill. And the dumpsters are too high for many of us older people who have some form of disabilities. The Lime Rock Hill that you have to drive up to get to the dumpsters got washouts in it so deep that my little MKX can't cross them. It's not a four-wheel drive vehicle. I'm not capable of getting up to the dumpsters. There's no assistance there to help people with disabilities on the site. You go out there, you're on your own. The little man that's there to open and close the gate sits in a little building down there and does his own little thing. He might stop you and say dumpster two or dumpster four, but you're lucky if he does. The air quality is so poor that when my husband went out there over the weekend with me to take our household garbage off and open the door of the truck, it nauseated both of us. We went into heaves. There is no compactor to compact the household garbage like there used to be. You have to throw it all into an open bin with this 100-degree plus weather we've been having. The flies and the stench is abominable. It is a pollution on all of us. It goes up into the air, and God knows what kind of chemicals create out of all the debris that's thrown out there. And so I'm here today to ask you as our county commissioners, since we do pay our taxes every year and there is an allocation in there for us to have an acceptable place to take our garbage to, if you would please go out there, check it out, and get whoever needs to get busy to get it repaired, because it's been in this disarray for several months and it's just getting worse. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lawless, I appreciate you coming. And you have noticed we've done some construction at Harrison Blue. And as you say, it's not proceeding at a very rapid pace. I visited with the county administrator today, and he assured me that the next thing will be pouring the concrete, and that should happen
tomorrow.
Now, we have plans to buy a new compact and to do the total renovation of the site. So I ask you to be patient. And if you go out there during open hours, the attendant is supposed to get out of that house and help folks like me and you get our garbage in those bins. And Dustin,
yes, sir, we'll speak to
you. Check with that.
He is falling short of his duty if that's his requirement.
So that's his requirement. Now, I go out there and I'll have stuff in the back of my pickup truck and I can probably throw it in. And I guess it's because he recognizes I'm going to drive up, but he jumps out there and smiles, how you doing, Mr. Page, and he'll help you throw that stuff in. And I'm disappointed he didn't do it for you.
Well, I'm not the only one he doesn't do it for. I'm here representing a group of people that have sit on my porch and discussed this issue, and I told them, I said, look, I'm not a politician, but I'll go up there and talk to you.
We're glad you came.
Because they're our representatives.
Right.
Now, I would like to know if I have permission from the Board of Commissioners to use a different roll-off site until that one's repaired, because I can't use that, and I don't want the garbage to accumulate in my house.
Yeah, I mean, you have access to all the county's roll-off sites.
You can roll-off site, be fine. I can certainly understand.
You come down there behind the airport. They'll help you.
Thank you very much.
How about door being and invite me, and I'll come talk with all your friends.
I live at 2690 M.L. Flinden Road, and I'd be glad to get them together.
All right, call when you get the meeting. I'll show up with a group of guys. I see you.
We did that. We made some mean lemonade, too.
All right.
If you have a blow-off on Bernard Johnson Road, and one in Shady Grove, they will take your garbage out of your car. I know they will.
I just got totally frustrated that nothing seemed to be happening out there. And I've been waiting what I thought was a considerable period of time for action to be taken. So I just wanted to maybe build a fire under the kettle and get the water boiling. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
I got Wilson. Since we're going on film for a few. It's been side. I was going to tell some of the people in St. Hatchin are not residents. But they have houses in St. Hatchin. I tell them they can't go down there because they don't have a proper ID. So what do we need to do down there? I mean, one of the guys came in, they asked him for a driver's license, told him to leave in St. Hatchin. He had a Georgia driver's license.
That, I believe, will encompass more of a statutory discussion because the access to the roll-off site is tied to the payment of the solid waste assessment.
If you own a house down there,
if you own a house, you pay the assessment.
If you own a house, you pay the assessment. So, if someone is from out of state or out of town, you know, the solid waste department gives out card, they can come and check and make sure that, and work with the tax collector and make sure that they have paid their assessment. And remember, we still have those cards that they're supposed to present at the roll-off site that says, I paid my assessment for this year. And that's what they, so they just need to contact, and they can contact me and I'll work with the solid waste director. So if they've paid their assessment, we can issue them a form of identification that they can show roll-off site attendance.
Ms. May?
First of all, Dustin, did you hand out?
They were in everyone's mailbox.
Okay. So my name's Meg. If you're on the other, it's Dean Hashtag. Did y'all get a handout? It looks like this.
They were inserted in your mailboxes.
I will just. Anybody who lives down on the beaches knows that we have what are called pop-up storms. They usually pop up within 8 to 10, 12 minutes. They last about 30 minutes and they go away. Winds of 65 mile an hour are not uncommon. Water spouts, you'll go from a flat calm sea to 2 to 4 foot seas in 3 to 5 minutes. We have a lot of people that come to visit us. A lot of people's boats are swamped. A lot of people get turned over. A lot of people that forget to put down their bimini tops. So a lot of trouble out on the water. And since I happen to live right out of the Gulf, I watch that as the storm comes in and people are sort of looking around for their scallops. They're not looking up. storm comes, hits, lightning, they're a little bit in shock. Needless to say, grabbing an anchor, getting everybody in the boat, along with large stops without losing them, because that's why you're here, is a little difficult. So this year, at the hurricane awareness event we had at the high school about 4 weeks ago, met with Channel 7 newscaster Dan, as well as the NOAA Emergency Weather Management System coordinator of NOAA up in Tallahassee, Mark Wool. And we have come up with a plan to be able to begin the process of getting people who are regular citizens to be our weather watchers. So if you look at the page on the back with all of the pictures of the storms, that basically is a description of what is actually happening and how fast it happens. The second paragraph down is a discussion on how far the radar currently works. In our area, there are two radar buoys that are used to tell people about storms. One is based in Tallahassee at the NOAA site at FSU. The other is in Tampa at the University in Tampa. Unfortunately, they cover everywhere between here and, between almost Marco Island and Panama City is two buoys, which basically means because they are straight line units, they see from Tallahassee straight, but they always see up above the clouds, which is why they never know there's a storm going on between Spring Warrior and Suwannee, which is what we're concerned about, Dixon Taylor County. So that's what the radar is doing right now. There are ways for you to hear about storms. If you have a smartphone, the Wireless Emergency Alerts section, you log into that website, you can actually get your cell phone in there, and it's going to tell you on your cell phone that there's an emergency weather alert coming out to tell you right now. There's also some contact information. If you turn over to the back, though, this is the program that's been put in place. The weather station out of Tallahassee puts out weather reports on VHF radio channel 4. So anybody inshore or offshore can hear about any weather storm that NOAA knows about. They can hear about that on channel 4. Also comes on your marine weather radios in your houses if you've got them. And it will come out on the weather alerts on your smartphone if you log into this site. The problem is, because they're seeing above the storms, they're above the clouds, but they're not seeing the storms. So they created a new program called On the Water, Be a Good Spotter. And there are four ways for people in our area to be able to report problems with these pop-up storms. One is a web-based system. One is an application you can put on your smartphone called MPing. You can tweet information if you're into the Twitter world. And if you just have a plain old dumb phone, you can actually telephone them. Any of these, except for the telephone, automatically pops up a red box with the alert warning that gives the lat-long information of where the person is notifying them from, what they're seeing, it's a water spout going on near me, and it allows the Tallahassee people to go ahead and zero in and at least study the area over the course of the next 30 seconds or so, and within 90 seconds they can have an emergency alert out over Channel 4 to all people who are listening to Channel 4. So this is a safety issue. It's a pilot program right now. It's running here in Taylor and Dixie. The expectation is once this runs this year, it will be expanded across to the rest of the state. So I'm just here to tell you that that is going on. Currently, NOAA and FWC are working together on a second project, which is to assure that we have a dedicated channel for anybody offshore. So that's anybody outside of cell phone service from shore. They'll be able to actually call in on one of the FWC marine channels directly to NOAA and say, we got a storm, we're 22 miles out, this is what's happening. What NOAA can then do is look at that storm, watch the direction, and put the alert out to the appropriate place. The storm is coming towards Spring Warrior. We don't want to tell Horseshoe Beach there's a storm coming. If it's heading south to Horseshoe Beach, we obviously don't want to alert people in Spring Warrior because then it becomes a useless warning system. So the second goal is to this summer work on that, and I have FWC contacts working with the NOAA contacts to get that in place. So that Channel 4 becomes the de facto standard channel that anybody would listen to on the water for weather issues. The second thing that we're working on is a much bigger issue, and it's a federal grant in order to put a weather buoy off, probably somewhere off Steinhatchee. Now it's obviously pretty far out, but the hope is that by doing this grant, it will probably take 2 to 3 years to get done, but by doing this grant, this $500,000 weather buoy could actually be placed out, and then the entire area would be fully covered and easily viewable by the Tallahassee people. The reason that we did this was because we had 7 of these major storms. I know one of the water spouts came right into my neighbor's house and moved their boat, moved their golf cart from under their house, everything off their porch, and it was across the street and actually in your yard, Pam. So, yeah, we get some pretty wicked storms, and it was a less than 20-minute storm. So they're very fast, but they're very powerful, and there's no way to predict them that they're coming. So I'm only here to tell you that that's what we're doing, that's what's been going on. We've distributed this particular page. I gave everyone to the orange just so you have it. We've distributed this to 250 locations. Currently, every marina, every store that has anything to do with fishing equipment or selling to the fishing community, any boating or boat manufacturer and store, all of our rental agents that rent properties to people, and all of our grocery stores and restaurants, we're asking them to all post it. Primarily that they get the notice, and we've asked all of the realtors who have people coming in to stay to literally have this on their desk so that when someone registers, they basically say, here's what you need to do. Pick one of these that works for you, put this on your phone while you're standing here and someone else is registering your information. Again, the goal is a 2016 incident-free, minus the heat beach incident that just occurred, summer of fun, safe boating. So I just wanted y'all to know that that was going on. Actually, no one wanted you to know that was going on because you are the pilot project, you and Dixie County. And I'll be meeting the Dixie County commissioners on July the 7th, I think it is. Question?
Well, I don't have a question. I just want to say, obviously, you put a lot of time and effort into this, and I want you to know how much I appreciate it. I wonder if there's a way that these could be distributed at the boat ramps during high season, because, or is that?
Well, I have given them to the ramp attendants in Keaton, and I'll get them. I ran out. I had 250 printed, and then I ran out. They have printed me 250 more, and that's sort of the end of their budget for this. So I'll be handing out some more. I did, when I mentioned it to Dustin and I brought it in to you, one of the things that we discussed was the possibility of perhaps making these into the metal signs that get permanently affixed at the boat ramps, which means you don't have to have somebody handing them out at 5 in the morning if they're out going out early, or on a Tuesday when no one's manning the ramp, or after scallop season when no one's manning the ramp, period, through the winter. So possibility is maybe at some point you can do that. We really want to try it, see how it works for us, see if we get people participating. But I'm more than happy to say, put those signs up. Primarily because, you know, I look and watch it, poor FWC, we're on a first name basis. I'm like, hey, it's Meg again. There's a boat, currently no power. They're floating into the rocks. You're in front of Key Beach. I mean, I call them all the time. Haven't talked to them about the possibility of the signs yet, because it's a weather service program and not a boater. I'm just saying, I'm playing the politics game like most of us do. So NOAA owns the information. They're now talking to FWC. FWC may in fact come through and buy that, but at this point, the first thing I need them to do is to get the channel prepared and prepped for NOAA and the offshore, whether it's commercial or guides or whoever, to be able to talk to NOAA and say, there's something coming. This is only, when was the hurricane event? 4 weeks ago? So in 4 weeks, we did pretty good. We've got a couple things left to do, but we're getting there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Just thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I'm off to the CERT program. By the way, there's a CERT class going on. We have 54 CERT members so far. We've got another 10 coming. So you have kind of, I will tell you, we did have a notice. I was the state CERT contact for Taylor County. And now Mr. Eddie Calaro is going to take over for me since my term is up. But we are the second most active CERT program in the state, even though we have no money and we have the fewest number of incidences, but we are out there everywhere. So Steve Spreadley's done a really good job getting us out there, and Christy's done a great job. So kudos to them. Thank you, Eddie, who's taking over for me. So I'm off to the traffic class. Anything else?
Huh?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
else comments or concerns?
Yeah,
that's right.
My agenda is the same as Martha Law's. My name is Tommy Williams. I live on the north end, and I have a place on the south end. As long as I, when I'm done from the south end, call the cemetery road off side, piece of cake, easy to get your stuff off, and if you do need help, you get it. Well, what my question is, why did y'all jack up the dumpster 4 foot high when they were down level at the ground? And hey, I'm a senior citizen now. I'm not no young punk. I'm in L.A. I'm just like, I'm old. I don't know how old people go up there and older than me. You can pick up anything up that high. And my question is, you got a guardrail down the middle level? What's that all about? I just, that's my question. And I'd like to know why they did it like that.
What we had.
It used to just break it off of my trailer.
Within one year period, we had like 3 people fall into dumpsters within a 3 year period. I mean, within a 1 year period, and our insurance told us if we did, we could no longer insure them. People would walk off the back of the truck into the dumpsters. One fellow stepped on his tailgate, and him and his tailgate fell in the dumpsters.
Yep, y'all should be here liable for that, shouldn't
you? I'd agree.
I mean, if somebody.
But that sign was posted to not step on
the
dumpster diving.
Yes, ma'am.
That's another one of those.
It's even harder for me. And I got handicapped myself.
I thought we put some dumpsters there where people could back up to and put stuff out on the ground.
There ain't none here.
That's for the heavy appliances.
Right.
They all 4 foot high.
Minimum.
I took the tape measure to measure.
Right. And that was done as a management practice to cut down on the instances of people hurting themselves inside the dumpsters.
Okay.
Put the railing down the middle, people were backing up there, and getting in the back of the truck.
And that's when they were falling off?
And they were standing on the tailgate. They were standing on the tailgate, jerking on them, and the dumpster being empty. And it's about a 12-foot fall of
unsealed.
To the bottom of an empty dumpster. And that's just, why people do that, I don't know.
Well, the way it is now, when I pull the trailer, when I pull up there, I got to crawl out the passenger side to even get out and unload it. Because you're up against the dumpster. You're up against the deck, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
It really got you in a bind like that, man.
I know it, but it's a safety issue, and we work around it, you know. But the main thing, if you're not able to do the lifting and stuff, we've got employees that smoke and help you do it.
And we'll make sure. I'm very sorry for both of your experiences with our attendance, because that is incredibly disappointing.
Tommy, what's your last name?
Tommy Williams. Yes, sir.
Okay. Where do you live, man?
I live right up near Boyd.
Okay.
Right back down there with you. And I live down there in Kenny Wilson.
So you use Harrison Blue probably?
Yeah, because I've been staying up here. I've been staying down there. But when I stayed down there, that was no problem ever to jump. That crawl cemetery, the best roll-off site y'all got.
Yeah.
It is very good.
And people will have it.
Pardon?
I think Shady Grove is.
Well,
that's my district, so I'm not going to
say that. Well, I'm getting the problem. It is the best roll-off
site. Well, when we get Phil Harrison Blue, it's going to be just as good as these two. Bear with us.
I mean, it's a long way for me to drive, but it was good to slam crawl cemetery for the boys.
Well, we appreciate you all weighing in with us, letting us know what's going on.
I hope so.
And Dustin is all ears. I see him over here taking notes.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you all.
We've been studying the issue of having a pad out there where if you had a bunch of stumps or cut logs or something, you could just roll them out of your trailer on that pad out there.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out a way of doing that. That would be, we're bumping that thing.
That's what I need to know.
But we've got a incinerator now, and we're working on trying to maybe get people with a big trailer load of stuff carried down there and dump it. You know, we're working the issue.
I'm willing to take my yard debris to an incinerator dump site. I just wasn't aware that we had
one. We're working that drain. We've got an incinerator, and we've been working it, carrying stuff from the dumpster down. program, but we're kind of working on trying to get a program where we'll have a play.
Yard
trash and stumps and logs and stuff like that. And y'all got to get it out of the trailer, and that'll happen from there. But yeah, we're working at it.
I appreciate it.
I'd rather take a trailer load of yard trash to an incinerator than to take it out there and try to heave it up into that dumpster. I just can't do that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Dustin, I'd like to just request that you and with Gary or whoever, that maybe you start having some additional training with all the roadblock employees. Mm-hmm. I think probably it would hurt to review the expectation. I don't know what your policy and procedure says, but I'd start to make sure that the policy and procedure stated clearly what their job duty is, and then have some additional training and sign off on it so they know that they're supposed to help these people.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Eddie Calero, 815 Second Avenue North, Nancy. Seeing as how it's pile on solid waste day, this is a side, American Red Cross volunteer that I go to fires to help people. And we've had a couple of instances, one recently in Steinhatchee, where they were living in a travel trailer and it burnt all the way to the front. They have nor the money or the physical ability to get rid of it. It's still in the yard. And I asked Gary about that when I talked to him once, and he said in the past, when there was a fire like that, they would take one of the cans out or one of the dumpsters out and put it there so that they can get rid of all that stuff, so it's not an eyesore anymore. But that hasn't happened in a long time, and he wasn't sure who to talk to about maybe to give permission to do something like that. So that's why I just decided maybe I could bring it up.
Okay, I'll speak to Mr. Gary. I believe I'm the person that would give that permission.
Okay, but anyway, that's what it is, because there's a lot
and
of...
I apologize, it had not been brought to my attention.
Huh? Okay. Well, it's maybe he was expecting me to do it, and that's fine, you know. And so, he was real nice about it when I talked to him about it, and because he actually wanted to try to figure out a way to stop that too, because they have no way of cutting it up and putting it in anything and hauling it away. And my fear is, and I talked to them about it the day of the fire, just to make sure it didn't happen, is that they don't just hook it up to something and haul it in the woods and leave it. Because that would be the easiest way for them to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that.
If it's metal, usually the thieves will take care of it for you.
Yeah, but most of the metal in the RV and stuff is so thin, and it melts. It really melts down to nothing.
So the thieves don't have any.
No, so the thieves don't. And the AC system and everything, yes. That didn't work. But otherwise, yeah, you're right. But, okay, yeah, we'll get with you on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be right here. It just takes an old man long to get there. If you have another birthday, we'll go get back too. I say what, though? I'm still thankful to be alive. Most things is to be alive forever and ever with Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Hey, what I want to mention now, and Mr. Page, years ago, when you went to the Eridoo, you looked at that Eridoo gun, and you fixed it. If we still have a gun, and I do thank you.
Thank you.
As long as you're on this board, I got confidence that the people on the board that know things, and y'all got to get a board now. I just hope y'all keep everybody in the same seat you got. And Mr. Pam,
thank you very much.
You were. And Mr. Pam, I believe you're the best town commission we've ever had. I'm serious about that. It's warmer. Take my hat off to the wall. Most of them women, they tell me that if you want something done, tell a woman about it, and she'll get it done. Even if you mark her for two grades. You know that. That's in the Bible. But anyway, while I'm up here, the day and time we live in, they want to change everything, even they want to change the Bible. That new King James Version Bible, it don't even make a good commentary on the Bible. It says that Jesus was crucified through the chest. No, he's crucified through the hands. The Bible said, don't add to his word, don't take away from his word. If you add to his word, the pages of that book can be added to you. And you take out, I believe in eternal life. But he said, I'll take you a part of it. My question is them people even saved? I'm saved, man, ain't going to count for the word of God. But now what I'm talking about, changing roads. Now, there's no road down there that's known as Chester Road. And it's down there off the CC Road. And that old road, there's a man named Will Chester. He was one of the work, first one that moved on that old place. And naturally, when he first people back the old page place, all down there in Cadre, the first people that lived there, that part was settlement people on coal. And that's what it's named, Will Chester. Now, I know they changed it around, but see, don't marvel because they changed roads, because they're trying to change God's holy word. And lots of people say they're Christians, they're just behind it. But God ain't going to change. And so, like this road, if you will put it back to the Will Chester Road, and I get around the community, and I'm going to say this right here. Like the Shady Grove done, they have moved everything away from here, just and Pleasant Grove up to Shady Grove, but one old clay well down there that I do, and it's dug, and they can't move it because it's dug in the ground. That's what they do. People do that. You cannot move an old clay dug well, but everything else is moving, it's been moved. But these little communities, they still partner, in my book. I go by, I may be an old school, but I still stick with the old school. And I do appreciate you, Mr. Faith. And,
thank you.
And I see any signs coming up. If I could vote for you on your side, I could do like Frank Purcell, jump back and forth, I'd do it.
Thank you.
Out of consideration for Mr. Russell's commentary, that was actually number 10 on your agenda, so I figured this would be a good time for you guys to have
that
consideration.
Yeah, I've talked with Mr. Russell, and I've talked to some other people on the road, and they all are okay, or at least the ones that I've talked to say that they're okay with changing the Blue Bar Road to the Will Chester Road. So I'm sure we have to have a public hearing. So I would like to make a motion that we have a public hearing and advertise that to change that road from Blue Bar to Will Chester Road.
Now, second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
So, Mr. Russell, we're going to advertise for the public, so if there's anybody that was out there that say that want it changed, they can come forward when we have the public hearing. Otherwise, if there's nobody comes forward, I feel like for sure it'll get done.
Yeah, thank you. And like I say now, in my opinion, I see all these other benefits, but the best one is one thousand paid sorry back up to you.
It is a good
tip, it sure is. Hey, Jeremy, he's a man of the word, and I'm going to need you on that. Why don't we come?
Thank you.
Take care, really
good. I played marbles, this fella, he'd pick up the marbles and leave. I want to second what Billy did. We've always known it as Chester Road, but the history lesson is Harrison Blue Road, Physical Road, and Bobby Gibson Patrick down the Chester Road, and all the way to Newport. That's when Ben Holloway was at the riser in Malcolm's house. But I've got old maps there, Newport Road, all that. But our Chester, all of them live. I just want to say, get that in the
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have any more comments, concerns, and votes? We'll move on to consent items.
Motion to approve all consent items.
I got a question on number 7. Justin, on number 7.
Sir.
This is $19,000 we give to the city of Walton. Am I missing something here?
As part of their redevelopment agency that was set up. Annie Mae, can you help me with that?
It's required by law.
Right. Required by law.
And we budget the amount that's required.
Okay. That's going to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right. Can we do it by phone bill? Just keep it calling?
Be in bad trouble.
Oh,
you don't want to do that. That's not forever. That CRA is not forever. Just keep that in mind.
Well, that'd be
forever.
Feels seems like it. Forever, doesn't it?
It seems like it, but it has to be redone.
Feels like it. Number 11 is under the motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Sam.
Judy's going to look attached to that agenda item that she's got marked 7.
Yes,
it tells you exactly how we did it to get that thing.
I was looking right at it.
Yeah.
Call for him over there.
This is right.
Call number 11. Savannah Morris.
Yes, that's me.
You want to tell us about grass?
Sure, a little bit. Yeah. Do you
got a cursor right there. Just pull the trigger at the bottom.
All right. Great. Well, thank you all so much for having me. We were here back in February to address most of the members of the board about the Nature Coast Biological Station that UF is bringing out into the coastal counties of the Nature Coast, and I work there. So for those of you all in the audience that don't know me, that's who I am. And this is just to update you all about some of the programs that I'd like to bring to Taylor County with your permission. So the first one is seagrass awareness and protection. And the figure you're looking at here on the screen is from a 1995 crop scarring report. And it was a state report that examined the prevalence of propeller damage to seagrasses around all of the seagrass meadows in the state. And we were lucky in the Nature Coast in that we had very limited areas of scarring, and most of the areas identified were either light or moderate, very few areas of severe scarring. But I think that a lot of the recent data that's been done and some of the aerial photos that I've examined have shown that this problem has worsened since 1995. And as you can see on this map, the Steinhatchee area and points north of that are probably the best target for voter education. And because impacts likely occur mostly during scallop season when visitors that don't know the waters as well are here, probably the best way to address this issue is with signage at boat ramps, because that's the logical entry point for most of the people that are coming in to go scalloping in areas around Steinhatchee. And so this is a picture of the signs that I would like to place at the Ideal Marina in Steinhatchee. It was developed by a University of Florida social scientist that works on marketing. And I would, of course, furnish these signs to the county at no cost. They're approximately $350 because of the special design with the scar cut out and everything. They're meant to be very eye-catching, and they direct people to an informational website. And another part of this would be handing out shallow seagrass maps for free to people. It's a pilot project to see how effective this is at raising visitors' awareness about shallow seagrass areas and reducing damage to seagrasses, because seagrasses, as most of you already know, are really important for supporting fisheries, and specifically the scallop fishery. Spotted sea trout fishery and redfish are three of the biggest ones that depend a lot on seagrasses. So I will be doing some voter interviews before and after the signs to see if they're effective, and if they are effective, I would like to expand this to other boat launch points throughout Taylor County. I'm also placing these signs in Cedar Key and in two boat ramps in Citrus County as well, to try to see if there are differences across that area as far as the effectiveness of that. So one of the reasons I'm here is to ask your permission to post the sign. And the second reason I'm here is because in my travels around through Taylor County boat ramps and other boat ramps in other counties, I've noticed that very few of them have access to a monofilament recovery and recycling bin, and that is this PVC bin that you see there on the lower right of the slide. And these are important because they give anglers a place to put their used fishing line free of charge, and it gets mailed away once enough is collected, and it gets melted down and placed into new fishing lines. So it's a great way to encourage sustainable reuse of fishing line, and it reduces the amount that's in the water and on the shore that can entangle birds and lead to these horrible impacts that you see. Some of these examples were done locally, a couple of them. The top one is from Tampa, and that's just, you know, about 25 birds that are all tangled in monofilament line. And so these bins I can also provide at no charge to be placed at boat ramps, both on county property and also private property, for anyone that's interested in adding these as a feature as an amenity to the anglers and the boaters that are coming to these areas. And there's lots of other signage that goes along with it about why the bins are there and things like that. And these are the places that I would like to place them, ideally. I know not all of these are county property and not all of them are in Taylor County, like Gina and Good Times, I'm aware, are across the river in Dixie County. But just so you guys are aware of the things that I think in the short term, since I am new in my position since February, that I can do to help out the natural resources of Taylor County along the coast. And the last slide is just a letter of support from somebody locally that thinks both of these are a good idea. I also attached this to the agenda request so you have it where you can actually read the print that's on there. And I also believe that I've received a verbal letter of support, at least for the monofilament bins, from Mr. Eddie over here. So, and the last little thing is, last time I was here, I told you that I was updating and helping Taylor Tourist Development Council reprint the scalloping brochures, and I brought a couple copies of the brand new brochure. I just wanted to let you know that that little project has been completed, and if anyone wants a copy, I brought several here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a question. Sure. Have you been down on the Oslo River to the Mandalay boat ramp?
I have not made it to that one yet.
If you can go down there, it would be nice to have a signs down there in the monofilament bins. Mm-hmm. We have a new, nice, really nice boat ramp down there. It's used a lot.
Okay. Certainly.
Mandalay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bins for sure I can do. The signs, I have money for four, so I have to find another $350 to get another seagrass sign there, but I can certainly explore and see if there's money in the budget to do that.
There's also a boat ramp to be completed that
you want another one down the side. Great. Maybe I should give my contact information out so people can email me or give me I have some business cards on these for them. And anyone who has an idea for where one of the bins should go.
Bring your orders.
I think there may be one at Hagen's Cove already.
There might be. Some of them, and yeah. Some of them I've listed there because they're what we call an orphan bin, in that they don't have a person that's watching over them. So they end up, sort of falling into the other regulations.
Not one voter, though. What you carry out, you bring back.
Yes, right. But unfortunately, a lot of our visitors.
That might be in there.
Sure. Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
A whole idea is trying to make it easier for people.
Well, yeah. That's like, I want to do a thing. I want to clock scoring. I do a lot of diving. I've been to beach since I was growing up in water. But the grass, how long do y'all say when the grass is full up, it'll take the dirt back?
So that really depends. It's usually on the order of months to years. In the worst case scenario, if you have a big storm that comes through and the vulnerable area gets scoured out while it's still scarred, it can take up to 10 years for them to heal. And it just makes them more vulnerable to being ripped up by storms because they can get more easily under that rhizome mat and peel it back. And so there are some areas down in Citrus already that are just crosshatched by propeller scars, and I think the best thing is to get out ahead of them. Certainly, they do heal naturally. Some of them will heal in about a year, but it does take months to years, and over time, with increasing visitation,
diving some places, the new grass coming by is so much healthier than the old grass. I don't say that's a good thing, but it just looks like it comes by nice, healthy,
Well,
I guess that's just shallow. I guess it's shallow. They don't need the roots and all.
Yeah, new growth will be look brighter and greener, but it's probably as in terms of below ground biomass, it's probably not as resilient and it doesn't stay there. It's probably more vulnerable.
Well, all the grass we get washing up on the beach, like our little beach, we get plenty of dump dust. Where are they saying that's coming from? Is that just natural shedding of grass?
Yes, yes. The grass will shed its leaves, a big shedding event, about twice per year. There's usually one in the early summer and one in the late summer, right before fall. Seagrass, most of the grass that's washing up those leaves only live about a month, and that's their natural lifespan, and then they'll shed off. And so if you get, some wind coming through, that'll sort of stir up all those naturally shed leaves.
So
so this won't necessarily come from shrimp boats and boats and all, it's a natural occurrence.
It would be really hard to say how much of it. I mean, certainly there are things that are ripping up sea grasses that are out there, trawls being one of them, the boat controllers, but it's probably largely natural.
And I don't want to talk with the fly, just
no, that's what, that's fine. So yeah, but I
think... We'd all boats, you know, we'd have grass on the beach, you know.
Sure. I think the best answer is that we really don't know, but they do shed naturally a lot.
I can say this, back before there was any handful of outboard motors in Bailey County, I'm talking about a 30 horse was the biggest motor there was. There was a lot of grass on the beach back then, so it was a natural occurrence. It's not outboard motor.
Yeah, there might be some things adding to it, but I think it's probably mostly.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we approve the motion to put the signs and the bins out.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all so much for your time.
One more comment for
sure.
You. That one, who we need to do is good. Diving and all. The most aggravating thing I see when we dive is daggone glass balls. People put away. I mean, the rest of the balls, cans, stuff like that, dissipate. But glass never rots. It never goes on. I would like to see something, some more time we do away with glass on the grill. We just grass out and let a kid cut the foot or somebody throw a bottle out in the ocean. I know that's not true, but somebody could do a survey on the damage of the glass.
I'll definitely keep it in mind. We can maybe look at some kind of awareness project around that. Certainly.
Aluminum can out. Next year it's gone. I mean, I hate to see it. You die, man, nothing worse than riding is seeing much garbage on the bottom of the ocean. But glass never goes nowhere. I've been places that people spray balls over it. 50 foot of water is still there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe recycling bins at boat ramps. I don't know. We can try to brainstorm some ideas.
Attention to it or something.
And I'll keep you all updated on the progress of when these go be installed. Thank you.
Isn't there a lot of communities, coastal communities, that won't allow you to buy flasks? They just outlawed it. You can't sell it in the county or
I'm not aware of that. It's pretty radical.
Number 12, the Board of Center. The approval of Big Bend Water Authority's BBWA budget agenda by my brother. And I'm on this board, so can I vote on this?
Yeah, it doesn't inure to your financial benefit.
Okay.
You're not employed, Brian.
Mark Redden, Big Bend Water Authority. In your packet is a copy of our budget's been approved by Dixon County and our board. It's up for consideration again. We're going to propose generating a little bit more revenue compared to last year. Financially, the authority is doing well. Keeping it going. And I would like to thank our Ms. Jean Ridgway and Cindy Wood for putting this budget together this year. So, if you have any questions, I'm ready.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got to stay for the rest of the meeting, okay? Number 13. General business, the board consider a transfer of $5,000 from the pension fund to the sports complex.
We've had a very busy concession season this year, and we need a cash infusion to buy more inventory if we're going to continue to host events at the sports complex, which we've already had multiple requests for 3 to 4 more tournaments before the summer is out. We looked at the numbers, and I've shown it to Commissioner Fiegel, but the numbers are very good right now. It's a banner year for concessions revenue. You're almost at $40,000 received and you're meeting your expenditures right now, so we feel pretty fairly confident that that will continue.
But it's not so. The concessions operation is not at this point in time self-sufficient.
Right now, the concessions operations to date, your revenues right now, if we would have stopped right now, your revenues would outpace your expenditures by about $2,000.
We allocate $5,000 for contingency. Mm-hmm.
We anticipate this trend to continue.
$5,000 to be put back in contingency.
We anticipate that if we continue with the four more tournaments, that we will continue to pull, bring a profit that will make that investment worthwhile.
Mr. Chair, I'm all for these tournaments, have as many tournaments as we can. It's good for Taylor County, it's good for us. And I'm okay with transferring this $5,000 to contingency. So if there's no more discussion, I'll make a motion to go ahead and transfer that.
You
got a
second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Number 14, board discuss addition event insurance at the park, at the county park, presented by Commissioner Pete.
I know in the packet there was a lot of stuff in the packet, and I'm sure y'all all read that, but and I think this has been resolved, but Shank Road people, the council, had a question about having to them to purchase more insurance, and say for instance for a bounce house or a water slide, and where they're coming from, and I do agree with them. If the county has insurance, and if we require the vendor to give proof of insurance, then I didn't feel like that they should have to purchase additional insurance. And I think Dustin
yes.
has got this worked out, and this is resolved.
Yes, it was an overreach, and we got locked into it. We're looking at our special event policy to beef it up and be more consistent, but basically. Yes, the county carries general liability insurance for its parks and its venues and this building, and that is for normal operations. And after speaking with our insurance carrier, we all agreed that the only thing that needed additional insurance would be those inflatables they're bringing in. So if they're bringing that in with the vendor's insurance, now the difference would be if the vendor would not provide insurance that could cover the county's risk, then we would require the outside agent, the group organizing it, to cover that. But that was resolved with the vendor. So
yeah, I just want it to be just as easy as we can make it for our citizens to use our park without any additional having to do this or do that. So
we're working on clarifying those policies so that we don't run into that confusion again. If you're going to use the park, we're insured for that. If you're going to bring a caterer or something like that onto our park, that's when we're going to ask for insurance. And if it comes from the vendor, then we're all good.
Yeah, let's just make it user-friendly.
Yes, ma'am. Business. Yes, ma'am.
That's all. Thank you.
Do you have any other comments,
sir? No, sir. All
right. We'll move on to number 15. The board considered the potential amendment of a structure using Steen Hatchie River Gate LLC estimate for Steen Hatchie for encroachment into the 13th Street East right-of-way as presented by the county administrator.
Well, it's getting right.
Yeah.
I think county attorney, I'm sorry.
Well, it starts with an A. I got a question. There's a petition here that was prepared by Mr. Smith. Has that petition been signed by the by Jody?
No.
Okay.
This has been presented to us from Mr. Smith that said put this on the agenda, so that's what we're doing. And, part of the reason we put it on the agenda is because this is kind of a different kind of take on your roadway, your right-of-way abandonment. Basically, that's what this is they're asked, you're being asked to not abandon your entire right-of-way, but the portion that the easement is upon
is encroaching
upon.
Right.
So, So this is not doing it today.
Right.
What you need to vote for today is do you agree for Mr. You're petitioning yourself is what's going to happen. And ask for the chairperson to sign this and then set the public hearing for this. And this has been batted back and forth. And, I'm right. trying to tell Mike how to do it and so forth and so on. So my suggestion would be you're not doing it tonight. What you're doing is you're petitioning yourself for this to remove this encroachment.
To remove the encroachment?
To remove the easement. To remove the easement and, I guess, for lack of a better word, allow the encroachment.
Allow the we've been dealing with for the last.
Yes, sir.
River.
Yeah. My suggestion would be to someone make a motion to have chairperson sign it. Let's have the public hearing and decide what y'all can decide what you want to do.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's it.
Now the county administrator.
There you go.
The county administrator discuss information files.
That is a heck of a note I just wrote down. The county to petition the county for abandonment.
There you go.
Did I get that right?
That's how it works. Yeah.
Okay. Just a couple of reminders. Your regular workshop will be on Monday the 27th, not next week, not Tuesday, because that will be a travel day to the annual conference. Those of you that are registered to go to the annual conference. We have a Restore Act meeting on Tuesday, the annual conference. The ethics class is on Tuesday as well at 12 o'clock.
On Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Yours is at 1 o'clock. Yours and mine is at 1 o'clock. Today I met with your boat ramp task force to get ready for the beginning of scout season. And 4th of July to begin that pre-planning. So we will be on our holiday planning schedule for the next 2 weeks. Actually tomorrow our variable message boards will be going out to Beach Road and Steinhatchee to alert people that scallop season is beginning and to expect delays and congestion up front. Those signs will obviously stay out through the weekend, but will change to alert drivers that congestion may be upon us. We'll be ramping up boat ramp attendance and sheriff's deputies' presence at both the Keaton Beach and Steinhatchee boat ramps. So hopefully we can start moving cars and trucks along.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are the attendants giving out the rules and everything like we've talked about?
We're developing the flyers to put out right now, and we do have a flyer that we will be giving out already that gives them instructions on how to purchase the annual pass. They're communicating the rules to people.
When will they actually have flyers to give out?
The flyers were already given to the department head in charge, so he's printing them out now. So when they're down there this weekend, they'll have them to give out.
Yeah, I thought that was a good idea, so they can be, they're given. Down the road, they got plenty of time to read them most of the time. While we're on the boat ramps, someone had mentioned to me that across the road from the boat ramp, that there's not a sign that says boats and trailers, and that people are parking cars in there, and that since the spaces are
right.
And I went down there to look, and I didn't see any.
We do have some signs, but it is right now. It's not your ordinance does not disallow that. We frown on it. With the trailhead opening up hopefully soon across the street, that will have a lot of single car parking, new single car parking that we can divert that traffic to.
What the rest of y'all think about that?
I think those long parking spaces that are designed for trucks, trailers, ought to be restricted to use for that not individual cars.
Right. But up until the trailhead was starting construction, you had that was the only parking option that you had. You don't have any areas to park single cars.
When will the car parking be ready?
As soon as humanly possible. They told me it would begin in Scalders, and obviously that's not happening.
I don't think sales were yesterday.
Now, are we enforcing no parking on the county right of way?
We're enforcing no parking between, right now we have no parking signs between Keaton Beach Drive and Jody Morgan. That's the no parking
zone. But outside of that short distance, you can park on the.
Yes.
So there is
areas to park along the right of way. We would need to amend your boat ramp ordinance to make that illegal at boat ramps that, or your ordinances in general to make it illegal that cars without trailers are parking in boat ramp trailer parking.
I hate to see a big space like that taken up with one car. I do understand cars need a place to park too, so we need to make sure that we can get that parking for cars done yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
So that, you know, but can take up that big space with a little bitty car when you got somebody pulling a boat and they're having to go way down the road. I personally would like to see it change. Now, we did talk about putting in milling or something to put a going into the boat ramp. There would be a lane just for boats coming out of the boat ramp, a lane just for boats. Where are we at on that?
We're in the planning phase right now. I mean, obviously, a project like that would not be advisable to do right now in the height of the boat, in the height of the boating season.
Can we just make a lane without putting milling down? Is it hard enough that we could do that and then put the milling down?
We would have to restructure the road to make sure that it's safe for an additional lane.
So what are we going to do about all the traffic then that jamming that we're having here where people can't get in their homes and fire trucks can't get in their houses?
Well, we're going to have the fire department stationed closer to Keaton Beach during some of the peaker times. And that's why we're bringing on additional attendants so that we can move that line as fast as we possibly can. Even with an additional lane for people to pull off onto the highway, at the end of the day, you have a two-lane boat ramp. So what we're trying to do is, with the additional hands that we have on staff down there, will be their main focus will be to turn over the use of that ramp. The faster that ramp can be used, the faster that congestion gets relieved.
Have you ever looked at the little road, which shows?
I haven't had a chance to drive it yet, but.
I mean, if we could just get out there with 10 loads of lime on, fix that road, and give us that bypass, we could put detour signs if it's our property.
All right. Well, I have a meeting with North Central Florida Regional Planning Council. I'm trying to bring them as well as University of Florida to take a look at this congestion issue from a wider perspective.
If that little piece of percent you're talking about belongs to the county, I mean, we could contract that out to somebody. We can't do it. I mean, are we talking $25,000 to fix a half mile road or whatever it is, a quarter mile road with some lime off? I mean, I
wouldn't know.
I'm going to say if it's our road, well, they're saying it's our road, it just needs to be fixed. We'll put the traffic going through on the Jody Morgan grade and coming out there at the water plant. I mean, if this didn't get bad, I mean, it's going to be. Foley went today, Foley put a chain link fence all the way down.
Yes.
Beside their property, so nobody can park on their property. Mm-hmm. So they just took 20 lots where everybody was parking out. And everybody parking there, that's over with.
That's down at the old marina.
Old marina, they chain link all the way down the side of the road.
Hmm. Well, wouldn't it be fairly easy to go to Bruce's office and find out if we do own that, and then see if we could quickly do something?
Well, I'm not sure, absolutely. We can find out. I'm not sure bypass road, you know, we have to think through this, because if you have a bypass road, eventually it's not gonna be just residents that are gonna take that bypass road. It's going to be the other boat ramp traffic, and now you have congestion on both sides.
Well, I understand that. Well, some people deal with their boat ramp, they live Cedar Island, people deal with Dark Island.
They can
get to their house.
They can avoid all that congestion. Yes.
I mean, somebody would have this road up like this, the same road. I'm thinking about somebody that can pull a boat truck through them, unless they kind of know how to get through there. But it would give people access to their home.
I mentioned something else about the, I don't know if they brought anybody's attention, that you're talking about the trailhead, the new one, right? That there's a lot of motorized traffic apparently running up and down that. That could cause a problem come scallop season too.
Right, and that's going to be a discussion point at the board's workshop as far as what they want to do with that pedestrian.
And then one more quick thing, are the ramp attendants in Steve Hansen aware of the canopy that I put down the fire station?
I reminded their boss today. I want to make sure that they're well protected.
I don't think they've used it, so I want to make sure they were aware.
They are aware.
I'll get with Sarah tomorrow and ride and look at that. We got Sam, Wayne, or Melvin, even three can fix that road for us in 2 or 3 days. But, I mean, if we had the money to grow that. I understand what you're saying. That's going to cut traffic on both sides of the road. They just have to get in line. If they couldn't include it, we just have to tell them, hey, you got to go back around. I mean, that's just something we have to deal with. But with that marina being closed, and we get 40% traffic than we got. I don't know what you're saying. There's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
But and I know where you're at. But I live there. I know. Right. I leave my house and go out. You can't. I just go straight on Jody Morgan, come out on 19. I don't even try. The deal with you, I go to St. Hatchie and go out. Go down to Southern Power Grid. But most people don't have that option. They don't know how to go through the woods.
Well, that's why I'm trying to engage the Regional Planning Council, people that have taking a global look, a regional look at this, to give us a fix, a permanent fix that can work. Certainly, we can certainly take a look at doing an emergency widening of a right-of-way.
And I'm saying, look, we could have a major, for the next 2 months, it's fit to get serious.
Right.
And after that, it's going away.
Yeah, exactly. And we're throwing every resource that we can to make that boat ramp work as efficiently as possible.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I've been looking at the boat ramp going to Cedar Island, numerous times. And when we're down at the beach, I'll go back and buy it just to see how congested it is. It seems that since we've got our increased personnel presence there at the boat ramp, that the thing is working a lot faster and a lot better. I mean, that's just my windshield observations.
And we're currently routing when in the morning time when people are putting in, we're currently routing when it gets overflowing like that, we're routing the boat ramp traffic through the overflow parking lot first to kind of get vehicles off the road. Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
It's better without, we haven't yet experienced the scholarships. So this Saturday would be the proof.
And we'll have the sheriff's office down there, a bigger sheriff's office presence down there, for the purpose of controlling traffic to make sure that traffic is flowing as best it possibly can be.
When are the North Florida Regional people going to meet with you to discuss
Friday.
This? Friday. So you may know something by next Monday when we have
yes,
the
ma'am.
Workshop?
Yes, ma'am.
That would be good to have their input to see what they say. But yeah, I mean, I'm really concerned, really have been concerned about.
Well, this will be, I mean, Memorial Day was a small test. This will be a bigger test.
Sure will.
And we'll do as we've always done, with four boat ramp attendants on at Keaton Beach and 2 deputies on at Keaton Beach and 3 on at Steen Hatchie. We're gonna hustle and make sure that at least those ramp areas are going to be moving and turning over vehicles as quickly as possible. That's what we can make that system work. That's what the cause of the congestion is, regardless of which way the cars are coming. The cause of that congestion is two boats per use. So the faster we can make those two boats go, the faster the congestion gets reduced.
Yeah. And I will admit there's a tremendous difference between last year and this year. We made big time improvements. And the beach, everybody's commenting on beach side breaks. Going, and they've been trashed up this year, getting sent on sites. The trash has been took to a minimum. They ain't been, even Mr. Raw has not fussed at me about the beach, you know. So that's a big compliment for Mr. Roberts there, everything's going smooth down there.
It is.
I'm not down. I appreciate everything done. It's Roberts' work. I just have about 150 residents down there. Not sure when we'll throw a fit, but I'm going to get their house.
I'll have some time tomorrow afternoon if you want. I'll buddy. We'll go take a look.
Thank you, Dustin.
Okay.
And you're going to have a good job.
Thank you.
Are you ready, Laurie?
I'm done.
I'm not going to tell anyone to Laurie if you can tell someone. Really? Any additional comments or concerns from the public? Mark, you ain't got nothing to say?
Nope.
Mark, you ain't got nothing to say?
It's going to be busy.
All right. All of you quiet too.
It'll take time to tell you that.
Oh,
we can't have much time on bridge until we move that to Keaton Beach. It'll be time.
I hear you. We can Shady Grove move to Keaton Beach.
We all want it.
Jim, guys, I appreciate everybody coming tonight. The only thing I'm going to say, everybody be careful, because that Gulf is full of manatees out there right now.
Yeah.
It is full of them. I had one come up, me and my daughter went red fishing on Sunday. The Father's Day, we went on a fishing trip. And we passed several going from the Alcala River over toward the lighthouse. We got in the creek, went to fish, and here one come up, and I reckon it came, because it come up to the boat, rub on the boat, stick its head up out of the water. And she'd throw her line out, and he'd go out there where the shrimp hit them, and wallow around out there, and then come back to the boat. And it's really, she took the picture, she put it on Facebook.
It's got a lot of fish,
didn't it? It was, we caught some redfish, the manatees are out there. I don't know why, for some reason, water salinity or something got really in the creeks up there. Everybody's seeing them and talking about them. Just like, remind people to be careful looking, because they're going to hit something. Anybody's going to be out there.
I have seen them almost jump in a boat before. They will come completely out of the water, airborne, and sail and go back in the water. And they're beautiful to watch, but there's a certain time or a salinity deal, like you're saying. I'm a native Floridian. I've lived on the coast all my life, from Pinellas County to Taylor County. And I see them come out of the water. So in those small boats that go out scalloping, as sick as they are out there now, somebody's likely to have one land in the boat with them. I've been lucky. All I've caught is a mullet in the lap a time or two. But they do, the critters do, like
riding
the boat occasionally.
That's the manta rays. You're talking about the manta rays. He's talking about manatees.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places down south where people out there die with the manatees.
Uh-huh.
And they rub them and ride around them and stuff. And that's the reason that one that was coming up to the boat, it's been in one of those parks where they did that, because it wanted to get in the boat. Want somebody to rub his head. You know.
I come face to face one other day. Me and my other girl went up Wood Creek and we was fishing. Chip took a fish off our trout and I saw him there. I reached down, washing my hands and bled over the boat, and he just come up right there. I tore the whole boat up trying to get away from it.
Yeah, well,
the
porpoise is coming up and running with the boats along the shoreline right now too. So it very well could be the salinity of the water that's causing all this
right.
Animal activity out there.
They're there, and
daughter took a picture, first picture of him coming up to the water, and he dipped it up in the nostril of his nose. Several people, you know, come back to her on a computer there and said, what is that? Because all you could see was the end of his nose taking out the water to two nostrils, you know. Finally, it stuck his head out and took another picture. Everybody knew what it was. Pretty interesting. But they're out there. People, be careful.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, just listening to all of this, we do live in a beautiful area. We've got beautiful rivers and the Gulf, and it's just woods. It's just a beautiful place to live. I want to thank the public for being here tonight. I appreciate your participation. We always like to see the public here and help us when we can. We don't always have all the answers, and so we look to the public to help us. Appreciate our Sheriff's Department for being here. Appreciate the staff, our attorney, our clerk. And I appreciate this board. You know, it's so good. A couple of times this week, I've had two different people to tell me, you know, y'all really got a good board up there now. You've got the best board that you've had. And that makes me feel good. They said, y'all work together, don't you? I said, yeah, we do work together. We don't always, all of us agree on the same thing, but we know how to disagree, and when we walk out the door, we're okay with each other. And it's a pleasure for me to serve on this board, and a pleasure and an honor and privilege for me to serve the public. Thank you.
Mr. Martin. Oh, somehow I've got a credit calendar for the 27th, which is next Monday.
Yes.
I spoke to the North Central,
right.
Not the Regional Planning Council, but Smarty River Economic Council. Mm-hmm. That's at 6.
Well.
The landfill board meeting is at 5, and this meeting is at 6. I can't be in 3 places in one. So I'm going to the landfill at 5.
Okay.
And I should be finished there, so I may be a little late for this workshop. Because we have difficult with 4 commissioners on the landfill board, and sometimes to get a quorum. And we had to postpone the meeting. We got one important item on the agenda that needs to be taken care of time. So, but we'll try to make it back as soon as possible. And I want to get out basically what Commissioner Field said. It's an honor and privilege to serve on this board. We do get along well. We don't all see everything 100% the same, but we are agreeable when we disagree, and it's been a pleasure to serve. I want to ask those of you that talked about our solid waste issues out of Harrisonburg, be patient with us. We started this renovation project, and it's taking a little more time than we thought it would take. We're trying to save money by utilizing considerable amount of inmate labor. So we have, we think, sufficient funds. If we use those funds wisely to do a very good renovation, including a new compactor, and the whole place is going to be nice when we get through it. Like my house, my wife is enclosing the back porch and making a sunroom, and the place is torn up, and I'm not too happy. You know, carpenter door. You know, spending too much money, so it's frustrating when you're in this construction phase. But bear with us. Dustin's going to have word with our tenants. They're not doing what they need to do about it. So, thank the press. Thank all of you for coming. And thank our law enforcement people. Thank Mr. Bishop for keeping us out of trouble. And we have a new Margaret over there tonight. And appreciate you being here.
Thank
you. That's all.
Bill Mulligan, on Thursday, your 4-cent tourism development tax has been drafted and will be presented to the Tourist Development Council on Thursday. And all goes well, on Friday we'll begin the advertising process to get that in front of you guys in July. So. We're very happy. Conrad and I went through a few iterations, but we're very happy as to the result of where we got it. So Hopefully that'll be some good news for you guys in July.
Ms. Conrad.
Boy, it's fun being here tonight. All that trash talk.
No pun intended.
I'm sure they'll get it straight. There are a couple other ordinances that have been prepared that'll be presented to y'all for advertising, you know, the golf cart business. I prepared the one for over the bridge, and also the one that being able to lease, rent golf carts that's been prepared also.
Yes.
So those will be coming up, new legislation for y'all to consider a couple of years. I just want to let you know that they have been done. And I just want to say that let's pray for our country and pray for those folks in Orlando. Just for our country, really. This has got to stop.
That's right.
You know, no matter which way you think about it, you know,
it needs to stop.
You know, because we're all Americans.
That's
right. And I had to have my 2 cents on that.
Thank you, sir.
You know, may I have a volume, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
A man who lives on J.O. Gibson Road, Henry Lund, asked me to bring up to the board's attention that he would like to see it legal for his grandchildren to drive the golf cart down J.O. Gibson Road, which I think is all right to drive it. That's a dirt road. Can't climb all the way. But when it comes out on the beach road, there's a short distance before he gets to where the speed limit is appropriate. He wants the speed limit moved just north of J.O. Gibson Road.
I thought we did that a couple years ago.
He was asking for it Saturday afternoon.
We moved the sign one time already.
I don't really
move for them. That's where we moved it, so it would take him that road.
Well, not make it maybe he's mistaken.
I guess I don't draw my golf cart that far. I'll pay attention to it.
But it would make it make sense, you know, because there's several houses down there. They're part of the Keaton Beach community. Does that mean we have to change the ordinance or move the speed limits up?
Because it's a paved road, you'd have to designate that portion of the road. And I believe the ordinance says from the corner store.
Well, sign up way past the corner store. It's almost to the J.O. Gibson Road, if you're anxious.
Right. Yeah. Right, but that's the difference between that's the difference between the placement of sign and what's in your county code. And we'd like what's on the ground to reflect what's in statute.
Jimmy, I'll turn that over to you as your duty.
Thank you, sir.
I had a call this week from one of my constituents. Now I'm just the messenger, but that's what I'm paid to do, is whatever people ask me or say to me, I bring it forward. She started out by saying how good Johnson Shrimpton Road is, and I agree, it is really a good road. Now, if y'all been down Johnson Shrimpton, it's so much better. It's wider, and the curbs are banked, and I just, we went through a lot for that road, but in the end, the road itself is good. But she was concerned about the speed limit signs. And I told her that I would bring it up, but I'm not sure that the speed limit out there is something that we set or the construction company set. I got an idea. I thought that it was probably the state, since that was a state project out there.
I don't believe any of the speed limits changed. I know that there was some consternation as far as the yellow signs with the curves that give a suggested speed of 10, 15 miles an hour.
I think it's the 15 miles an hour.
Right, but that's just a suggestion. That's not an enforceable speed limit.
Say again?
That's not an enforceable speed limit.
It's got to be a black and white sign.
Right.
I would have thrown and told me that
right.
Would be a...
Black and white signs are the only enforceable... Now, those are safety signs, so those are recommended speed to get around the curve. And and those are set by the angles and things that DOT has in their big book of standards. But that is not an... So when you see a yellow sign with a 10 miles an hour...
Okay.
That's not an enforceable speed limit.
Okay, I didn't know that, so good. I'll get back with her on that, but yeah, thank you.
They asked me the same question. They said, if I get caught, it's just 15 miles an hour, and I get caught doing 45, I'll be 30 miles an hour with speed limit.
Right.
So I asked the highway patrolman, and he said it has to be a black and white sign to change that to your enforcement.
Uh-huh. Right, the speed limit through there is whatever the black and white is. Just
okay.
There are suggestions.
I mean, charge
of
careless driving, then.
Anybody else? Y'all got? I got about 3 hours speech here and get out of here.
Monday.
Monday. If I got, we got to go to school Tuesday. There's no way I'll be here Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got.
You got to
leave. I got to leave. I got school Monday, Tuesday morning.
Well, your ethics class begins at 12:30 p.m.
Where at?
In Orlando. At the Orlando Hyatt. I think all the your travel information should be in front of you there.
Well, I'm going to work at 5. Maybe 6 Monday night. we can make something work.
You may have a long agenda, man.
We've got a few items, but we can continue to keep it light. But the bigger question is if you need a hotel, we don't have a hotel room for you Monday night.
I don't worry about it. I got to work Monday night. I mean, if I got to be there Tuesday, I've got to work Monday night. Take off Tuesday. I was thinking it had to be a Wednesday night. I got a day behind there.
Right.
I got a crane coming in Monday. I'm an operator. They were pretty upset about it.
For half of the meeting, we'll probably have 3 commissioners, so I think it'll be a quick
meeting.
We're
going to have 3 people.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if Commissioner Page is going to be late, and if you're telling us now you're not going to be here, Commissioner Moody, you're going to be here Monday night at 6?
Yeah, I'll be here, but I reckon I'd get up here in the morning real early and drive down there.
Yeah. Do we have to meet?
This is your regular workshop, so you guys can certainly postpone it or not have it at all.
Just seems like to me we probably need to reschedule this.
Reschedule this.
Put a notice out so the people know that.
That's a good idea.
Right. Because it's too iffy right now.
Sounds like
I
a good
want
idea.
To get ready and get here, and then we can't have a meeting.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Be my preference. That we cancel it.
Yeah, at the end of the month, maybe June workshop.
Yeah, whatever
you want to do, just whenever you get back to class. Well, I mean, it's a workshop. It's meant for discussion. I don't think there's anything in there. So we can just go ahead and cancel. You'll have a workshop in July, and we'll just catch up.
Okay.
Well, we have our budget workshops also in July. So you'll have plenty of times to meet in July.
So I have something on the agenda for Monday night. And there you say there's, what, how many more things are on there?
I would have to look at my notes, probably about 4 or 5 items.
It looks like it's going to be impossible to have a meeting.
We can schedule for July 7th for your regular meeting to schedule your makeup regular workshop, if needed.
In front of the June 7th meeting?
Instead of the June 27th meeting, we'll put out a notice that we'll cancel the June 27th meeting, and on your July 7th regular meeting, or July 5th?
Yeah, 5th.
Yes, ma'am. July 5th regular meeting, we'll have an item on there for you guys to discuss and schedule a makeup workshop as needed. Okay?
That works. First Avenue is clean action. Schoolhouse Road is getting terrible. I mean, it's deteriorating. I don't know if it's all the water damage we had or whatever, but this road's getting narrower and narrower. I mean, we're losing a foot off each side. It seems like it's here. Yeah.
And that's Schoolhouse Road?
Yes, sir. Yeah. If you drive down about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll run over 2 or 3 people before you get to the end of it. Because they're walking in halfway in the middle of the road because it's bad, shoulders just about. And the sun shines straight in your eyes. We can get some help there or something if we can get it on that. Dangerous road for somebody that's going to run over right there. It's just a matter of time. I went to Shady Grove today. And it was late. Talked with some of the parties involved, and now I'm not coming together on agreement now. So I was just a little late. Somebody working at it anyway. Another thing I got, we were all discussing about boat ramps and this, that, and the other. I was talking with some of the owners of the old Key Beach Marine. They put a prop tag on it. And that's 20 lots, two boat ramps, and a lift in the store. If the county wants to be here and bring a business or wants that, two of just the boat ramps is already there.
How much?
They want $4 million. It's 20 lots. I think it's 20 lots plus. Anyway. I just figured I'd tell y'all.
We need to talk with the senator that's over the
Prohibitions Commission. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That's not a bad price considering 20 lots, two boat ramps, and that business there.
And five motel rooms, six motel rooms.
It would be an asset for this county if we had it.
It would be I mean, the beach, I don't know if y'all been to the beach since the marina closed, it is dead. I mean, from the boat ramp, a lot of people like that, but it's not good for the community. I mean, some people that live there kind of think it's a good thing that nobody's coming to the beach no more. I think it's our asset. I mean, Key Beach is a beautiful place, and it's our gateway to the Gulf. I just hate to see that. You sold off to some developer, put a bunch of condos there at some point in time, and it just cuts off all the access to the water at one point in time.
You ain't up, man. Let's go focus the law and let you run it. Conrad, you'll co-sign for it.
Conrad, what's your co-sign? Conrad, co-sign for it. I run it for
you. Is that right?
Well, it's not a guarantor.
So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, we're looking for
everything's
we're looking for boat ramp. I mean, we're looking for additional places. That's already there. Got access, water access, deep water access. Got to have a lot of dock work. But is there anything against the county being in business? I mean, you'd have to run. Couldn't be a free place because the money we got to pay for it. You'd have to charge. I mean, all these other South Florida counties, they charge for access and doctor's fees. And
yeah, you can do that. Absolutely. You can do that. But just keep in mind that things are negotiable.
Oh, and I understand. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kevin, don't compete with private enterprise, okay?
Do what now?
Don't compete with private enterprise.
Well, I agree with that, but they've got private enterprise down there. It's the only one.
The crane didn't pass the inspection, wanted to make it.
Yeah, but that ain't a big deal. Crane, you tear it down the grid here.
You could lease the overhead crane in the building to somebody, and that would be a private enterprise. And then you could use the 20 lots for parking and use the boat ramp for the general public. I mean, there's a way around, you know, keep from hurting somebody as far as business goes.
Well, if we really wanted to get serious about this, and of course, like our attorney said, you know, you have to negotiate, but how would we go about this? Through bonding, or how would we go about this?
Well, there's several ways that you might be able to do it. You might be able to do it with sales tax. You could have you might be able to pass a special one.
No, our sales tax is locked up until we finish the hospital debt.
I know that, but what you can do with that is it's locked up until then. Then you can after that you can
unlock it.
Unlock it.
Well, yeah, that's what we want to do. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no reason to shake your heads about this without doing some research about it and determine what the best option would be. And you could bond it too.
Yes,
you could bond it. Especially with regard to how interest rates are so
So, well, let's do a bond with a negative interest rate. Wouldn't that be cool? Mm-hmm. I'm teasing about that, but where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, what would be wrong? I mean, I know the debt service on it would be pretty high on that kind of money, but it would pay for itself, but it would probably pay for most of the loan payments. And just if you rented out the dock space and rented out the marina and rented out the camper lots, and it's got but you'd be putting the county in a business. That's what I'm asking.
Well,
is there anything wrong with the county being in that business or leasing it out to somebody to run it?
There's nothing wrong with leasing it out, but what you would want to do though is like what Jim said is those the lots you could use for additional parking, then you have another boat ramp, you could bond it, or you could just a straight loan. You know, when you borrow money, when a public entity, to wit, the county, borrows money, you get a real good interest rate from borrowing money, because the person's the entity that's loaning the money doesn't pay taxes on that interest. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. You remember that, and that's one of the advantages that you do. Like I said, it's just something to think about, and like I said, it's all negotiable. And we could do some research on what the best way to fund it would be. And when you think about the amount that was just said, just think what was borrowed to build a hospital. Just right. Think what was borrowed to redo the jail. Remember? A lot more money than $1 million.
Yeah, $4 million in the school.
I can remember, our hands kind of shaking when the new jail was done. And then I can remember when the old hospital was about to go under. Pam will remember that, because she worked out there. We had a meeting to people in the community were willing to sign promissory notes to keep the hospital open. They were meeting in my office to do that. And then the idea came up to build a new hospital. And how much do we owe on that hospital now?
About
3 or 4 years.
About 3 or 4 years?
We borrowed, what, $21 million?
$21 million. Yeah. I mean, it was scary, but...
Pay it off quicker.
We're paying off quicker than what we... I don't think I'd be alive when
I
get it back.
Last year we cut 9 years off the payment.
Yeah.
We rebonded. Don't forget, we refinanced it. So again, we can raise your eyebrows about stuff like that, but I love to use the term no guts, no glory.
Like I said, man, that sounds like a lot of money, but when you go buy a bare piece of property that don't have no seawall, no parking lots, I mean, this is it ain't ready to go, but it could be, for a minimal amount of money, could be set up and usable in 3 months.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering about a feasibility study, just to see what a professional would say, and would get a value and everything. Of course, a feasibility study would cost what, about $30,000, $40,000?
Usually around that realm.
We're going to have an appraisal,
Yeah.
We're going to have to have 2 appraisals, pursuant to the statute.
Right.
But like I said, just y'all think about it.
Well, I mean, that's part of our job as a commission, to keep accessible for our grandkids and stuff. At some point in time, the real estate around the water is gone.
Gone.
And I hate to see it closed. I've lived there my whole life. I remember going to that school, getting off the school bus, going to that school when I was young, and my mom, it's hard to tell how old I am now, but my mom would give us a dollar for 4 kids, and we'd go in that store, and we all got a candy bar and a drink, and walked across the bridge to the house. And most people don't remember my Humpback Bridge, but I guess everybody on here does.
Yeah.
But it's just a big asset to the community. I hate to see it just get part of it gone away,
I'd like us to do our due diligence on this, not just
you know, forget about it.
I'm very interested.
And y'all put it on your next agenda.
Yeah, let's do that.
Your regular agenda or workshop to further discuss it.
Regular agenda. Since I put it on the regular agenda. Yes. You're going to have a regular meeting prior.
Yeah, that's our next meeting.
Prior to the next meeting.
Works for me.
And you can actually task the administrator, attorney to do the due diligence.
So tell us what to do.
It'll take considerable staff time to do. Yes.
Can we put it on the agenda without a motion? Just tell you to.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll read in between the lines on that one.
Sure. So all of you own a house at the beach. Once you incorporate the beach, Keaton Beach area, that where you do your own thing down there. If the incorporated beach area, it could be its own entity. Every one of you own a house or something down, all five of you. Just thought, let's put down a workshop and talk about it.
Think about it.
Yeah. I want to appreciate everybody for coming. So we're going to be gone 26, 27, 28.
Well, the 26 through the week.
Okay. Pleasure, everybody. Appreciate everybody.